In Isaiah 47, if you'd like to turn there in your Bibles this evening, Isaiah chapter 47. And last week we were blessed there in chapter 46, great chapter in the book of Isaiah. And as we've seen here in 43 to 46, God is emphasizing His person, that He's the only God, that He is the one true God and a great God. And here in chapter 47, God just reminds us of the foolishness of man's thinking in relation to the existence of God and the progression that takes place when man tries to push God out of the picture. It's a beautiful, even though this was written almost 3,000 years ago, it's a beautiful illustration of what we find ourselves in society today with people. So beginning there in verse 8 of Isaiah 47, the Bible says, "Therefore, hear now this, thou art given to pleasures that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day, loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thy heart, I am and none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know from whence it riseth. And mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Stand now with thine enchantments and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be, thou shalt be able to profit. If so be, thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. Thus shall they be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants from thy youth. They shall wander every one to his quarter. None shall save thee." So I've entitled it, "None Seeth Me." None Seeth Me. I pray, Heavenly Father, that You would meet with us tonight. I pray that You would be glorified in our service. It's such a blessing to come out on a Sunday evening and assemble and open Your Word together. We pray now we would be able to leave this service and know that we have been touched by Your Word. And so, Lord, we come with expectant hearts. We just want to please and glorify You. We want to hear from You. And we pray you'll meet in our service now. And Lord, that we can leave and say it was truly good to be here tonight. We love You. We ask all this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. So we can see the foolishness of man wrapped up in this passage here in Isaiah 47. And we can see the progression. Did you see verse 8? It all starts with man focusing on man. Man focusing on pleasing himself. And that's where we find society today. It's all about me, isn't it? Pleasing me, making me happy. And God warned that this would be one of the characteristics of the last days, is that man will be focused on self, pleasing self. And he told us about that there in 2 Timothy 3. Let's turn over there if we could. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And again, even though this was written over 2,500 years ago, it's almost as if it was written today. But that's the amazingness of God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, God here is describing what will happen in the last days. And he says in verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be," verse 2, "lovers of their own selves." Then look at verse 4. "Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." Well, that's exactly what we see around us. Lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That it's all about self, focusing on self. Everything today is me and I. Well, you know, this really isn't something new. When you read the fall of the devil in Isaiah chapter 14... you see this word "I" showing up over and over again. "I shall be like the Most High. I shall do this. I shall do that. I shall sit on His throne." It's all about self. That's pride. And when man focuses on self, he departs from finding and answering to God. And what happens is man then, as we'll see, pushes God out of the picture. And we get wild theories like evolution and so forth to help them with that attempt. The Bible says in Jude 19, these are they which separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. So again, we see that one of the first characteristics of man getting as far away from God as he can is focusing on self. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now the second thing that we see, if you go back to our passage in Isaiah 47 verse 8, is as soon as man begins to focus on himself, then he also begins to believe that he's not accountable. And one of the things that we've been focusing on in our counseling class, one of the premises of our counseling class, because it's biblical counseling, is number one, that we're accountable for our behavior. But man doesn't want to be accountable for his behavior. Now we blame shift. We blame our upbringing. We blame our parents. We blame society. We blame this. We blame that. But we don't want to take accountability for our own failures and our own sins. That started in the Garden of Eden, by the way. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. Neither one of them took responsibility. Notice verse 8. That dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. In other words, there isn't a God. That it's all about me, pleasing self, and that there is nothing but me, nothing but man. Well, isn't that what the world is trying to tell us? That we came from an explosion in space and eventually this single-celled organism started improving over millions and millions of years and eventually became us. Voila, here we are. It just happened. Never mind that this intricate design might require a designer. Nope, we just happened. And man wants to believe this. He wants to believe I am and there's nothing else. There is no God. Because as long as he believes that, he has no accountability. As soon as we acknowledge that there's a God, look at Psalm 53 verse 1. As soon as we acknowledge that there's a God, then we immediately become accountable to that God. As soon as we admit, you know, when I look around and I see creation, there must be a creator. As soon as we admit that, then we have to ask ourselves the question, I wonder what my Creator requires of me. I wonder if I will someday answer to Him at judgment. And then we have to find out, well, how do I prepare for that judgment? How do I answer to Him someday? And of course, He wrote all that down for us in His Word. But as long as man keeps pushing God out of the picture, then in his own mind, he's not accountable. Notice Psalm 53:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done an abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. We're all sinners. And if man chooses to say there is no God, God calls him a fool. The Creator is calling him a fool. Because God put within us, as we see in Romans chapter 1, a basic knowledge that there is a Creator. And he says that we're without excuse. So the first thing, it's going to become man-focused. The second thing that's going to happen is going to push man or God out of the picture. Look at John chapter 3. We'll look at a New Testament equivalent of this, where Jesus Christ explained why people don't get saved. Let's face it, people have a lot of excuses for not getting saved. But it really comes down to one word, sin. That's why people don't get saved. That's it. Because they don't want to be accountable for their sin. Notice John 3 down in verse 19. Jesus says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Talking about accountability here. Lest his deeds should be reproved. As soon as we come to the light, because our God is holy, as soon as we come to him, then we have to acknowledge we're not holy. We're sinners. So when we come to the light, our deeds get reproved. They get reproved by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. While we're here in the New Testament, go to Romans chapter 1. I want to show you that verse I was mentioning there a moment ago about being without excuse. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. Remember, God wrote this. He says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made." That's us. God says that He has planted within us an innate understanding that there's a Creator. Look what it says. "Even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Has anybody ever asked you the question, what about the tribes in Africa? They've asked me that many times, and I'm sure many of you have been asked that question. What about people that never... God says we're all without excuse. That we know there's a Creator, and that we have a choice to make. We can seek His will, we can try to find out how we answer to Him someday, or we can try to push Him out of the picture and not acknowledge that He exists to make ourselves feel more comfortable. And that's what man ends up doing. So, first thing we see here in Isaiah 47, lovers of pleasures, focusing on self, pleasing me, me, me. It's all about me. Second, what happens? No accountability. There is no God, so I don't have to answer to Him. Then the third thing that happens, of course, go back to our passage, is as soon as man pushes God out of the picture, well, then there is no final authority for what's right and what's wrong. And so what results is man coming up with his own ideas about what's right and wrong. His own ideas about the world, his own ideas about whatever. Notice it says, verse 9, "But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, and one day the loss of children, the widowhood, they shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments." Now we see those words sorceries and enchantments, and we immediately think witchcraft and all that, and that's included in that. But this is also inclusive of man's wisdom, man's thinking. The Bible says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Our thought processes are wrong. And as soon as we begin to think that we have the answers, we definitely don't have the answers. And so verse 10, "For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness, thou hast said, none seeth me." So, if there is no God, and if it's all about me, then I can believe whatever I want. Did you know they do surveys sometimes in proper universities? And when it comes to quote-unquote religion, which we all hate that word, the only thing that university students agree on the most is that there is no final authority. That man is the authority. Read the book of Judges. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And look how that turned out. So this is what happens. When man says, none seeth me, when man starts having his own worldly ideas, it leads to confusion. It leads to going further and further away from God. The Bible warns us, if you go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, about these wrong ideas. It even, believe it or not, the Bible even warns us about science. Which is interesting because, you know, man leans on science more than just about anything to say there's no God. Evolution and all these millions of years and so forth. 1 Timothy 6:10, it says, 6:20. "Old Timothy, keep that which is committed unto thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called." Science falsely so called. Because science is when you can prove something, when you can do an experiment and prove something. Evolution isn't provable. Evolution is a theory. But it's put forth as science. And what we end up with is man's wacky ideas. But what's the truth of the matter? Man says, none seeth me. In other words, there's no God, and nobody sees what I'm doing. I can do whatever I want. I'm not accountable. The Bible says, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance, in Psalm 90, verse 8. The Bible says God sees actually everything. Even our thoughts, even our words, everything. God knows it all. Which is in 100% contrast to this statement, none seeth me. So this is the progression. Is man focuses on self. He then pushes God out of the picture so he doesn't have to be accountable. Then he starts getting these crazy ideas that basically he can do whatever he wants. Because let's face it, if we're not accountable, we can do whatever we want. And when you take that to its furthest end, you end up with people like Hitler. He believed in evolution. He was just practicing what he believed. Survival of the fittest. Because he didn't believe he was accountable. The strongest win. That's what evolution teaches, right? Survival of the fittest. He was just practicing what he believed. And look what happened. We had an entire world war over it and 6 million Jews slaughtered. Because one man believed what he'd been taught. Man's ways. So, what's the fourth thing that happens? Worldly wisdom and knowledge. Look, it says, verse 10, thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. Isn't it interesting that none else beside me, we just read that statement in Isaiah recently where God is saying that of himself. None else beside me. And here we have man saying, none else beside me. The devil likes to copy God's statements, doesn't he? So what is this saying? It's saying that the final result is man thinks completely wrong. And he lives this complete wrong thinking process. Go back to Romans chapter 1, and I just want to show you the progression that we're talking about. Remember, we saw there in verse 20, it said they are without excuse. So what happens when man decides there is no God? When man decides I'm not accountable to God? When man decides it's all about me and I'm going to focus on me? Where does that lead? Look at verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Does our society not believe that they are wiser than man's ever been because of technology? You know that's what man believes deep inside. I'm talking about the world. Look what we've accomplished. Look, we've got cell phones now. We've got computers and we've got all this amazing. We've got the internet. We must be amazing. Professing themselves to be wise, the Bible says they became fools. And man has reached that point where he believes that he is the peak of everything, which is, of course, what evolution teaches. And now, professing themselves to be wise, fools. So man goes as far away from God as he can go through this progression. Go to 1 Corinthians while you're in the New Testament, chapter 1. And God tells us a bit more about man's wisdom versus God's wisdom. Verse 20. 1 Corinthians 1:20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 3:19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. God is saying this about us, as a race, I mean, as mankind. So Israel was headed down this path, and yet God wrote this, and it still suits the situation we find ourselves in today. This progression of man focusing on man, focusing on self, which is, again, it started with the devil. Where does it lead? All about pleasure, no accountability, push God out of the picture, then come the wacky ideas, and then their thinking process is so far from God that they can't find God. And God was rebuking Israel for this sort of thinking. Go back to Romans one more time, chapter 1, and we'll see the end result of this process. And that, of course, is man living like the devil. Who's the God of this world? The devil. And so he's behind this process. So we read up to verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So we started with verse 20, where they were without excuse. Now they believe they're wise, talking about mankind. Look what happens. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image, made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. We were talking this a couple of weeks ago in our ethics class about abortion and how society gets so excited about killing a whale, but it's okay to kill babies. Does that sound like verse 26? Worship the creature more than the Creator? The whales have more value than unborn babies. So man is there. We've gone the whole route. And we see it there in Romans chapter 1 and Isaiah 47. What's the answer? Well, praise God, if we're born again, we already have the answer. That's Jesus and His Word. And as long as we go to His Word for wisdom, then we're going down the right path. Because the Bible says, Thy Word is a light unto my feet, a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. But the other answer is we need to just keep telling people the truth. Because the gospel works. And it breaks through these barriers like nothing else. Because it's quick and powerful. And the Bible says it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's not talking about pulpit preaching. That's talking about us preaching the gospel to the lost, which is what we should all be doing. Never forget the power this book has. You know, somebody was asking me the other day, what do I say to this person in this situation? And because he's got these weird theories and blah, blah, blah. And I said, listen, if he's willing to listen, give him as much of the word as you can. And trust that it has the power to get into his heart. The Holy Spirit can use it to convict him. It's not that we're out there to get into arguing matches and debates. We're out there to share the gospel. And if they'll listen, the gospel has the power to save and break through these amazing barriers of loving pleasures more than loving God, believing there's no accountability, believing there's no God, believing that man is the highest and has all this wisdom when we actually have none. But the Holy Spirit can break through all of that, amen, and shine. And like God told Paul, if you go to Acts 26:18, we'll finish there tonight. Like God told Paul, just keep telling people, just keep going out and telling people. And you know, when Paul finished up his ministry, he said, some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And that's the reality. Some are going to believe, and some are not going to believe. But if we don't tell them, they don't even have a chance to not believe or believe. So notice Acts 26:18, when God is giving Paul his mission, he's recounting it here. He says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. That's the power of the gospel. To open eyes and to turn people from the power of Satan unto God and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. The Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, has the power to open people's eyes that are currently blinded by the devil. We just need to give it. So none seeth me, is what they said, and nothing could be further from the truth. God's ways are higher than our ways. God's Word is powerful. Let's go forward and believe it. Amen? Let's pray.